Hi everybody, my name is Stas, and this is the first episode of my brand new podcast about Brompton cycling. I'm an avid Brompton cyclist myself, and by the whims of fate and my work, I happen to travel quite a lot. And whenever I have a chance, I try to bring my trusty steed with me to explore some new and interesting places. Plus, I'm a big fan of cycling sportifs and long-distance cycling, so this podcast will be about some helpful tips, tricks and learnings that can help you to get most of your Brompton bike, whenever you decide to use it while traveling around the world, commuting, joining some sport events and sportifs, or just getting more active and improving your overall well-being through cycling. I also have a YouTube channel with the same name and on the same topic, so feel free to check it out if you prefer something more visual. In this inaugural episode, I want to talk about key pros and cons of Brompton bike. I have been cycling my P-Line for around 1.5 years for now, and recently got lots of friends asking, is Brompton really worth it? I absolutely love my bike, and it has truly changed my life. But my honest answer here will be, it depends. So if you are thinking about buying your first Brompton, this episode will give you arguments why you should or should not buy a Brompton bike. And if you are already a lucky Brompton owner, it would be interesting to compare ideas and reflections about our favorite bikes. Let's get going! Let's start with pros and aspects where Brompton truly shines. As pretty much any folding bike, Brompton's key selling point is that you can easily fold it when not in use, so it takes very limited amount of space. It's mainly helpful if you want to store your bike in-house while not in use, like in a flat or in the office. However, Brompton takes this benefit to the extreme. It has two main defining features, 16-inch wheels and its ingenious 3-step fold design. Brompton has the smallest wheels compared to other foldable bikes, as most of other folding bikes usually come with 18 or 20-inch wheels. As a result, Brompton will be lighter, smaller, and accelerate faster. It also has this iconic design, created by brilliant British engineer Andrew Ritchie, where you collapse the bike 2 times rather than just once, like with most of other folding bikes. This way, the collapsed Brompton will take surprisingly small amount of space, while still being very comfortable and reasonable to ride. And the whole assembly-disassembly process literally takes no more than 10 to 15 seconds. And another benefit from this design, bike's drivetrain is pretty much tucked inside the parts of its frame when folded, so you are much less likely to stain your clothes with the chain oil, compared to any other folding bike. Other than compactness, storing bike in-house is much safer, as it is much less likely to be stolen compared to locking your bike to the public bike parking on the street. And this way, your bike won't have to face the elements at all when not in use. Another aspect where Brompton truly shines is commute and multimodal transport. With its small size, you can mix it with any other public transport, hence the term multimodal transport. For example, what I do every now and then when commuting to work is cycling to my nearest tube station, then taking the underground to the closest station to my office, and then cycling from the tube station to the office again. This way I can save good 15-20 minutes single way, so at least half an hour of time saved daily, which is quite significant. In logistics there is this concept of last mile delivery, covering the last step between the recipient and the last storage or distribution facility, and this step is usually the most problematic one. You can pretty much think of folding bike like a perfect transport for this last mile situation. You can carry it around while on the train or ferry or any other long haul transport, and then cover the last few miles fast and comfortably. Brompton has another nice design idea to make this process even smoother. You don't actually have to carry the bike when it is folded. You can pretty much roll it on the smooth surface, as there is another couple of small wheels available just for this kind of situation. It works okay in the default configuration. But if you install a rear rack with additional pair of wheels on your bike, it will be really nice and smooth experience in most of the cases. Interesting fact to this discussion. TfL, the company who operates London Underground, only allows folding and not the regular bikes during the rush hours. So if you want to mix your tube ride with the bike ride during the rush hour, Brompton is the way to go. There is a similar story with TfL-operated buses. Hopping on the bus with a folded Brompton is perfectly fine, but you won't be able to do it with the regular bike. To push the point on multimodal transport to the next level, Brompton is one of few bikes you can actually fly abroad with. Transporting the regular-sized bike over the plane is an extremely cumbersome and expensive affair. However, your Brompton bike you can pretty much pack in a suitcase and simply carry it as a piece of check-in luggage. This is a perfect solution if you want to travel to new places and explore them by bike. And based on my own experience, it is the best way to really get a look and feel of almost any city, miles better than driving or walking around. Public bike sharing or bike hire is an alternative option here, but usually it is less convenient or might not be available. Plus, bike sharing bikes can be too heavy, clunky, damaged, wet after the rain, and so on. So far, I have traveled to 7 different countries with my Brompton, and cycling in those places added so much to my travel experience. Another big unlock you can get with Brompton is all sorts of cycling events and long-distance rides. The bike is surprisingly comfortable. With a bit of prep, you can cover 20 to 30 miles without too much problem at all. And if you are really dedicated, doing north of 50 or 60 miles in one sitting is also entirely possible. So with this kind of mileage, you can join all sorts of cycling sportifs and do bike touring or sightseeing, which is also great fun. Cycling is a great activity for your fitness, weight management, endurance, and health of your joints. So if the regular size sport bike is not an option for whatever reason, Brompton can perfectly fit the role of training and sports companion. Sharing my own experience here. I did a bunch of sportives last year, like Ride London 60 miles, Palace to Palace, London to Brighton, and so on. And now I'm training for my first century, during Ride London 100-mile event later this year. For me, sportives are a great motivating factor, helping me to stick to my training plan and commit to cycle enough to hopefully endure throughout the distance of the event. Plus, they usually give a really nice sense of cycling community. They cover beautiful routes and overall are great fun. By the way, I plan to do a detailed report from Ride London 100 Miles event later this year. So wish me luck, stay tuned and subscribe if you are interested. And to add to the point of creative usage of Brompton bike, there are lots of handy accessories available for it. Some of them are designed by the Brompton company itself, and many others by all sorts of big and small cycling brands. So with few upgrades and tweaks, you can convert your Brompton into a shopping vehicle and easily carry enough weekly supplies for a person or two in one trip. Brompton got this back attachment block on the front stem, where you can easily and securely attach rather spacious back to carry some stuff for you. And when you fold your bike, you can more or less use it as a trolley around the store, with such front-mounted back still attached and accessible from the bike. Rear rack can be also equipped with bungee cords for some light but bulky items. And a pro tip, default Brompton bungees have rather limited range and can snap if you pull them too much. So what you can do is to use a standalone set of bungees, wrap them around the frame of your bike and connect with default bungees. This way you have decent tension to hold stuff together and much bigger volume of stuff you can carry with your rack. I even managed to carry as many as 6 pizzas on top of my Brompton, so sky is the limit. Well, actually it's the height of your seat post, but we'll let it slide. Last batch of pros are related to value and durability of the bike. Yes, it is quite expensive, but it's very well made and designed, hence can last for ages. Bromptons have quite an extensive guarantee, plus if they were treated well, you can easily find Bromptons in decent condition that are 10 to 20 years old. Bromptons are also made of high-quality steel or even has some titanium in newer models, which also adds to their durability. And Bromptons are still manufactured and tested in the UK, and company apparently spends quite some time on quality assurance to minimize the chances of your bike falling apart or breaking down unexpectedly. You will of course need to replace the chain of the bike and some moving parts every now and then, but this is also true for any other bike out there. And overall, durability and reliability-wise, Brompton is a very solid option. On the point of spare parts, Brompton is famous for keeping a stock of spare parts for their bikes for many years after its manufacturing. So replacing some worn-out components and parts should not be a problem even in a number of years after buying the bike. There has been lots of innovations and upgrades to it, like P and T lines and dozens of other smaller things. But the core design of Brompton didn't change all that much over the years after all. Coming from this durability point is the fact that Brompton has a reasonable reselling value. So you lose much less money after doing your first ride and over time, compared to average folding or even regular bike. The reselling market for Bromptons is quite an active one, so buying a pre-loved bike or selling your bike is usually not that big of a problem. Brompton is even directly selling some of pre-loved bikes that has been refurbished with a discount of 20-25%. These are probably the key defining features and benefits that make Brompton such a great and popular folding bike, as well as an iconic piece of British engineering. I personally absolutely love my bike. It has definitely changed my life for the better and was totally worth the money. So I am a big fan for sure. However, as any other versatile item out there, Brompton has its cons as well. After all, if it would be perfect in every way, all the cyclists around the world would be cycling on Bromptons only. Which is not the case, right? Brompton's unique and versatile design is the main source of some of its core disadvantages. So let's talk about reasons why you might not want to buy a Brompton bike. Let's start with wheels diameter. Small wheels provide much less balance to the bike, so while it is more nimble, it is way less stable compared to the bike with bigger wheels. For example, from my own experience, it is way more tricky to cycle with only one hand on Brompton's handlebars. And doing it without hands at all is a sure way to get into a traffic accident, all because of less balance coming from smaller wheels. Another consequence here, smaller wheels means less distance between your feet and the ground, so you are more likely to scratch the floor with your pedals while cycling over a particularly high bump or turning and tilting really sharply. And less stability from smaller wheels means that you cannot tilt your bike as much while turning before actually losing balance, compared to a regular sized bike. Smaller wheels also means that to cover the same distance, you need to do way more revolutions of the wheel, which is more load on your joints and on the rubber of the wheel itself. Brompton tires will receive much more beating per inch of surface for the same distance. So consequently, you'll have to replace your tires more often on Brompton compared to any other bike with bigger wheels. Your speed is also a limiting factor on Brompton. Smaller wheels means that anything above 30 miles per hour is a big stretch on Brompton. So if you really want to feel the smell of burning tires due to how fast you are on the bike, Brompton is probably not the best steed of choice. Smaller diameter of wheels also means that you have to be way more careful with potholes and road imperfections, as Brompton will be much less forgiving towards those. And in general, Brompton shines on tarmac and fair quality road. Going over any kind of gravel, grassy or stony road on your Brompton is usually not the best idea. And of course, hills will be your main nemesis, especially if you're a chunky cyclist like me. But even if you're nice and handsome and thin, still conquering hills on Brompton is quite a challenge given its smaller wheels. With 16 inches being a wheel size pretty much exclusive for Bromptons, your choice of tires is also pretty much limited. There are literally only one or two tire manufacturers out there, like Schwalbe or Continental, that are selling tires for Bromptons, so not too much of a choice. And lastly, on small wheels. Smaller wheels diameter means brakes are less effective and overheat faster. So you should be much more mindful, careful and smooth with your brakes while on Brompton. Now let's rub some salt into the second defining feature of Brompton, its three-step folding design. First of all, while this design is undoubtedly great, it's rather complex compared to a regular and most other folding bikes, and has lots of different moving parts. Hence you have much more components that can potentially fail. Even though the build quality of the bike is quite solid, just by the nature of statistics and natural mechanical wear and tear, you'll have to replace some parts and components of your bike occasionally. This is heavily influenced by the conditions you are riding in and by amount of care and maintenance you're giving to your bike. But the point still holds nonetheless. For example, I've been riding through entire British winter this year, having been regularly exposed to rain and mud, and got some of the smaller nuts and bolts catching surface rust. Removing the rust was not such a big deal, but it made me really worried about the health of my bike. And next point, given the uniqueness of the design, lots of parts and components are proprietary, or doesn't have too many alternatives. And lack of competition and variety bumps up the price quite a bit. Some of the original Brompton components are ridiculously expensive for what they are. Like £25 for just bungee cords for the rear rack. It still gives me shivers when I think about it. These days you can of course buy unlicensed parts from here and there for much lower price. But then there is a question of their durability and quality. And in some cases, installing absolutely trivial things like bottle cage on your bike is not all that trivial, given that you need to take into account folding mechanism, further limiting your options. Another purely mechanical thing is frame flexing. The frame of the bike is not a one-piece thing as on the regular bike, but actually consists of several major parts. These are attached together via hinges, spindles and clamps, giving you ability to actually fold the bike. And every time you apply pressure on the bike or hit yet another bump on the road, the frame and its components flex and wobble a little bit, which results in the loss of power. You can of course address it to some extent by replacing suspension block or having sections of the frame made of titanium rather than steel to make overall construction a bit stiffer. But again, the issue is pretty much there, and it is more or less inevitable given the design of the bike. Some people also mentioned that doing some mechanical repairs, like changing a tire or inner tube of the Brompton, is less trivial versus regular bike, mainly due to facing more tension in the tires, especially if you're dealing with stiffer tires like Schwalbe Marathon or Marathon Plus. I don't necessarily echo this point, to be honest. I'm a proud owner of Marathon Plus tires, and even managed to install them myself, which was a little bit of a pickle, but still nothing impossible. Having good tire levers, ideally made from metal rather than plastic, definitely helps. Lots of people online said that they managed to snap a pair or two of tire levers while doing some tire works, which can be very heartbreaking, especially while on the move. However, the good thing about Brompton on this point is that if you have a mechanical issue with your bike and can't actually repair it on the go and continue cycling, you can fold your bike, get a cap, toss it into the trunk of the car and call it a day. Another anecdotal story from me here, when I was doing my London to Brighton ride, I was A, 108 kilos of weight, and B, stupid enough to pump my tires to 110 psi, so maximum allowed pressure, and surprise, surprise, I destroyed rear tire and two inner tubes on the right. But after a moment of complete despair on the side of the curb, I ordered a cab, folded the bike and tossed it into the trunk of the car. Then I got to the nearest Brompton bike shop, replaced everything there and got back on track. Good luck doing something like this with regular sized bike and regular sized car. And lastly, few other general downsides, not necessarily related to wheels or folding design, but still worth keeping in mind. Probably the most commonly mentioned downside of Brompton is its price. It's a fairly expensive bike after all. I would say that there are reasons for this price, but whether these reasons are appealing enough to you, that of course depends, as I mentioned in the introduction to this episode. Brompton also has three core lines of models: C-Line, P-Line and T-Line. C-Line is a classic, timeless, all-metal design. P-Line introduces titanium to some of the frame parts mainly to reduce weight and dissipate vibration. Plus, they baked in many smaller improvements and innovations all around the bike. And T-Line is the latest all-titanium option, featuring the latest and greatest thinking and design choices that Brompton team has come up with. There is of course some variation in price, different configurations and so on, but ballpark, as of March 2024, C-Line usually costs somewhere around £1,500, P-Line £2,500 and T-Line a whooping £4,500. For this amount of money, you can pretty much buy a car, hence the whole conversation about price being on the higher end of the spectrum. Secondly, most quoted thing is weight. Brompton is on the heavier side of the spectrum, especially considering its price. There is again a variation, but ballpark, C-Line weighs somewhere around 11.5 kilos, P-Line is slightly less than 10 kilos, and T-Line can go as low as 7.5 kilos. Reasonable road bike probably will be somewhere in the range of 8 to 9 kilos. So lighter than P-Line, most likely cheaper than P-Line, and way cheaper than T-Line. And this is without all the bells and whistles like rear frame, heavy duty tires and so on. Again, I would argue that 10 kilos of weight is not that big of a deal for all the utility you are getting from the bike. But it is true that for similar amount of money, you can for sure get a lighter bike. There are also some utility related compromises as well. Brompton is a very comfortable bike, especially given all the compactness, foldability and so on. However, there is an argument that regular sized bike will be more comfortable, especially for long distance rides. Again, I don't necessarily subscribe to this point of view, but I see where it's coming from. For example, you can't really install drop bars on Brompton, and aerodynamically, Brompton is probably not the best option out there. Also, using Brompton to transport kids is much less trivial versus regular bike, which is probably my main grievance with the bike so far. Usually a solution will be to mount a bicycle-specific child seat to the rear frame of the bike, which is not an option for Brompton for many reasons. Two alternatives is to have a seat mounted on the main frame and have a kid sitting pretty much in front of you, or have a child trailer attached to the axle of your rear wheel. Brompton officially doesn't recommend either of those, but people are still doing it rather successfully. However, I would still argue that using Brompton to bring your kid to school or nursery would be rather problematic, unless they are old and confident enough to ride their own bike together with you. The very last point, yes, Brompton has a surprising carrying power and can do grocery shopping and other utilitarian trips just fine. But you have to keep in mind that still there is less space to attach bags to. Plus, pannier bags don't work really well with folding the bike, and placing it on the rear rack. And cherry on a cake, doing something really adventurous like backpacking and camping with Brompton will be tricky. Still possible though, and I think I'm crazy enough to try it one day, as I absolutely love both camping and cycling on my Brompton, but it will be very tricky nonetheless. There are lots of things to process and think about in this episode, but I would probably summarize them in the following way. Brompton is an amazing bike, and definitely a solid option if A. You have limited space to store your bike or live in a flat and don't have a garden or reliable parking solution for your bike. B. You want to use the bike as a commute vehicle, benefiting from multimodal transportation option, like hopping into tube, train, ferry or any other vehicle with your bike. C. You want to travel and fly with your bike, using it to explore places outside of your home city, while not being a fan of bike sharing schemes and local bike hire solutions for whatever reason. D. You very much want to avoid the situation of your bike being stolen, or would rather avoid leaving your bike outside, locked to some public bike parking space or other similar fixings. And lastly, you're looking for a portable solution and frankly a motivating factor to spend more time outside, exercise more, and improve your health and longevity by being more active. Funny enough, in my specific situation, every single one of those scenarios apply to me, so I absolutely love my Brompton and would highly recommend it to other people with similar kind of disposition. And that's pretty much it for today. I hope this episode was helpful. Stay tuned for the next episode in 2 weeks from now if you enjoyed. I wish you all the best with your Brompton cycling adventures, and talk to you next time.